At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Jumpin' Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today with me is the wonderful Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel, your friendly internet wrestling fan. I just want to say, like a short intro, I've been watching All Japan since Wrestle went defunct and a lot of the wrestlers transferred over there at the time, so that's my little story and until now, I guess.
No, I'm so happy to have like another new voice join the Jumping Kneepod family. Lyric was the first one last month, and now I have another one. So I'm like collecting them.
Cool. Thanks.
So before we get started, a little info on the tour we're covering. It's All Japan's Hokkaido tour, and this was 8 shows over 9 days, which is like crazy. It's insane. Last year they had 6, so it was extended by 2 this year. There are a couple of wrestlers from Hokkaido that just work these shows and you hear their names throughout the episodes. And also Honda was supposed to be in America for this tour, but his appearance there were cancelled due to a hurricane. So there are a few 3-ways and 5-ways since they had to shuffle around the cards. And I believe that's because of Honda. So it's his fault. If you don't like 3-ways or 5-ways, blame him.
It's Hurricane Honda. That's what I call him.
Yeah, but we have 8 shows. So let's just get into it straight away. Day 1, Yuma Oyagi defeated Tashi Nago in 7 minutes and 16 seconds. Kumagoro Hikai defeated Seigo Tachibana and Tomoya in 9 minutes and 27 seconds. Kurushi Tokyo Japan and Shota Shino defeated Musashi and Seki Yoshioka in 10 minutes and 44 seconds. Yuma Anzai defeated Rii Inoue in 6 minutes and 14 seconds. Rene Abe, Ryzen Hayato, and Ricky Honda defeated Dan Tamura, Kento Miyahara, and David Boy Smith Jr. in 16 minutes and 15 seconds. Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defeated Hoka Tomura and Kuma Arashi in 9 minutes and 49 seconds. And in the World Tag Team title match, Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Cyrus and Hartley Jackson in 16 minutes and 58 seconds. So the match I'm going to talk about first is Inoue versus Anzai, and I loved this match. These two just hate each other, and it makes for such good wrestling. There was no down points in this match, no showboating to the crowd, just two dudes who can't stand each other, kicking and hitting until one just can't get up anymore. Inoue's kicks look so good, like they hurt a ton. I love them so much. Watching this, I knew Anzai won, but I thought there's no way this match would end with a gimlet. It just doesn't fit. It's too special just for this match. He needs the backdrop, and that's what we got. We got a backdrop. I know that sounds so weird and you're thinking like, what the hell are you talking about? But believe me, this match needed a backdrop, not the gimlet.
I guess it's a thing from like a Suwama, just like when Suwama wanted to defeat Anzai with like 10 backdrops. So now it's like Anzai doing it in a way. He's a lot smaller anyway. So I think it's probably not as, I mean, gimlet's pretty brutal, but backdrop's funnier, I guess.
Especially with Inoue because, you know, he's a junior weight. So when a backdrop's been delivered to him, he flies through the air. While a heavyweight like Anzai or Kento, it would just be like a normal move. But Inoue flew.
I really like this whole series of Inoue takes on everybody and gets a beating because that keeps happening over and over and over, even before this tour. So
Inoue's just been great. He was my interest in this tour. And then when his title match, which you'll get to, ended, I kind of lost interest. I'll go over that later. But The next match is the tag team title match, the main event. I don't know how other people felt about it, but I thought it was fine, which is a bit disappointing since I was really looking forward to this. The Saitos and Cyrus had really good single matches in the Royal Road tournament, especially Ray and Cyrus. Like I talked about that when we did the review, and I absolutely love that match. But I just think here it just didn't work. Maybe I need a rewatch of this match, but like 8 shows in 9 days, I didn't have time for a rewatch. And the thing I remember the most is like Hartley Jackson's post after the match, where he posted a photo on Twitter where he was getting powerbombed and his like tights were down, and you could see
Yes.
like his butt in full view.
That's one of my notes that he got just about dacked, to use a colloquialism. I'm glad he noticed that.
What did you think? Did you think it was good? Did you think it was fine?
I think it was a bit slow. I think they were trying to like pump up the crowd a bit because like I can hear Hartley Jackson saying, "Let's go, big boy," and stuff like that, and then counting to Cyrus at the other side of the ring. It was okay, for a title match. I don't know. I felt like the other matches before were like the crowd was so much more into it. I mean, it's sort of a dream match because it's like two sides of big boys. But I don't know. Maybe in another venue or something like that. Because it was full of all the big moves, like the double brainbuster and Cyrus, and then getting death. Cyrus doing Death Valley Bomb and stuff like that. And Ray's barbecue bomb, and where he just about dacked Hartley, just pulling her up. I was like, oh my God. I guess it's just an excuse to have a Sapporo like food ending at the end of this match. So we're like, I think Ray had like a Sapporo Classic, which is just like a normal beer anyway. And then Jin had like a pudding from the convenience store. I was like, it's like not that special, but it's local, I guess, local enough.
Think as long as they have a beer and a sweet, they're fine. It doesn't matter where it's from.
No, nobody cares. They're just happy. Also, I wanted to point out that if I was going to go to Hokkaido and I want to go to a particular show, I'd probably go to this one because you're staying at like a hotel and resort, and I think it's in the same building, so that would be like so great. Just like bumming around all day and then like going in the lift and then going to the show. That would be my ideal and never have to go outside.
It's like chilling at the resort. You go for like a spa massage, go to see a wrestling show, then go to like a really nice place for dinner.
And then leave. That's fine.
Ugh, that's a lot, huh? We move on to day two now. Cyrus defeated Noriyuki Yoshida and Riki Honda in 6 minutes and 42 seconds. Fokuto Omori and Kuma Arashi defeated Hideki Suzuki and Shoto Ishino in 9 minutes and 28 seconds. Ren Ayabe, Rising Hayato, and Yuma Anzai defeated Kenta Mihara, Rui Inoue, and Musashi in 14 minutes and 56 seconds. Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Kurisho Tokyo Japan and Sago Tachibana in 11 minutes and 9 seconds. In a junior heavyweight title match, Naruki Doi defeated Seki Yoshioka in 12 minutes and 58 seconds. And in the main event, Suwama and Yuma Aoyagi defeated Dan Tamura and Davey Boy Smith Jr. in 17 minutes and 59 seconds. I really liked the junior title match. I thought it was pretty fun. They didn't get a whole lot of time, just like 2 seconds and 13 minutes, really. But they made it work for them. Doi was playing to the crowd a ton here, just acting like he does, which is strange because when he first Dan, he was completely silent in that match. No showboating, no yelling at the crowd, nothing. But here he was just like the old Doi, the Doi we love. Seki has been a really bright spot for this company. I would like him to sign. Watching this, I had two thoughts. I would love to see Seki and Rui Inoue versus each other. It's going to be like Kick Boy versus Kick Man. Like maybe Yoshioka can like take him under his wing and it's like, this is how you kick harder. Secondly, I want your thoughts on this because I brought it up a couple episodes ago. Doi has run through everybody in the company. In the junior division, basically. It makes me think they are really just waiting for Asuka to come back to take the belt from Doi. Do you think that as well?
I think either like Rising Hayato will win it and then keep it warm for a little bit longer, and then Asuka will come back and steal it off Hayato, because I feel like that friendship kind of dynamic has not been like I mean, he's got new best friends right now with Elpida, but where does Atsuki sit? Like, who's he side with now? He's kind of been out since February now, so I hopefully he'll be back before the end of the year, but I'm not sure. We'll see. I'd like to him to be like a New Year surprise, maybe. But yeah, because it's like V5 now. It's like that's quite long. And then I'm also like on. Like similar to you, I think Seiki Yoshio could sign with All Japan. He's like a freelancer right now because I think he's no longer contracted with Zero One either. Especially since like I've seen him in Wrestle One, I always thought he's a really talented wrestler. But he stuck around with Noah for a while because of the pandemic apparently, but he always wanted to be independent. And then their junior division is so small, All Japan, so they really need some extra people anyway. Others are just have freelancers coming and going, really, which is what's happening.
Think with Asuki, he's at a lot of shows, but he's always on commentary.
Yeah.
And when he first started appearing on commentary, I remember people who are at the venue, they'll take pictures of him and like crutches that are beside him. But I haven't seen a picture with crutches for a long
He
time.
hasn't. He's running to the desk now, like purpose on purpose. And now there's like an Atsuki chant for when he comes in on commentary. That's how much people love him. It doesn't matter what he's doing, they'll just still cheer for him.
You've got to come back and join, what's it called? Like Suwama's idiot faction, like
Oh my God.
the Age of Idiots. I don't know what it
Bakugan
is.
Jidai. Yeah.
But he'll be with them because apparently they're a faction now, with like without telling anybody, like Suwama, Hideki, Yuma Oyagi, Fumanori Abe, Hikaru Sato, and Yuko Miyamoto. They're all like in that faction. And like, when did that happen? Did they announce that? I must have missed it.
I think it's the end of, I can't remember. There was a particular show where they just there was where Yuma was behaving quite badly, and they just all kind of dragged him off afterwards. And afterwards, they were all like, "We are all Baka" or something
When he lost
backstage.
to Honda in the Railroad
Yeah,
opening match.
that's right. And then that kind of like solidified it. We're all stupid now. We're all idiots. So, and then I think Sawama's like, "What are you guys doing? Who decided this?" So now it's become an official like three times like tag team.
It's so stupid, but
It
I kind of love
works.
it.
I hope there is a press conference with this year's tag league. There should be, right? So
It
hopefully.
starts on the 9th and we're recording on the 7th, so I don't think
Yeah.
they've announced anything for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, sometimes they just spring like press conferences without telling anyone, but I was hoping they would because then, shenanigans and stuff.
Yeah, it's weird they haven't actually, because they do it every year.
I don't know because this Hokkaido tour has been so long, but yeah.
True. Another thing on day two, I just want to touch on before we move on is the preview tag match for the All Asian titles. I thought that was great. Anything to do with upcoming tag title match, I have been looking forward to. Inoue has done such a good job building up with Anzai, just the hatred. And Kento and Hayato have a history, like the whole next stream run and how Hayato broke off from that. Like, that's a history and it's great. I want to touch on Musashi in this match. He has teamed with Kento so much when he came to All Japan, even before he signed. I really, really like that team together. I don't think they're going to go for the belts or anything like that, but I just think they work really well together.
I think they have a really good rapport. Like maybe Kento, even aren't they the same age basically? Even Kento seems like a bit more like the mentor, and then Musashi's like the what do you call it? Slightly mild persona or something, but he's always trying so hard. If it not for Yoshioka around, I think they would be tagging more anyway. So.
The thing with Kento and Musashi, I kind of see them kind of as leaders for their division. Like Kento, you see him a lot of times with like the newer wrestlers. He'll go to out to eat with them, like he did with Teishin for this tour. And like Musashi, when he came in, he's like, "I'm not here to make waves. You know, I'm not here just for the belt. I'm just here to help out and wrestle, basically."
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's a really good addition to their, like, again, small junior division. So I think that he'll be like a really good example for all the other guys. Like, he's a bit older than them, and he's had a lot more experience with Michinoku Pro and stuff. So I can't wait to see what else happens. I don't know.
Moving on to day three now. Ren Ayabe defeated Tashi Nagao in 7 minutes and 18 seconds. Ryuki Honda defeated Kumo Arashi and Shotaro Ishino in 6 minutes and 36 seconds. Cyrus and Hokuto Mori defeated Dan Tamura and David Boy Smith Jr. in 11 minutes and 53 seconds. In the Goro TV title match, Sega Tachibana defeated Kurisho Tokyo Japan in 12 minutes and 58 seconds. Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Hideki Suzuki and Suwama in 6 minutes and 6 seconds. And in the All Asia Tag Team title match, Yuma Anzai and Ryzen Hayato defeated Kento Miyahara and Rii Inoue in 24 minutes and 48 seconds. Before I get to the title match, I just did like a little recap of this show because I thought it was good. The undercard was actually pretty fun. Tashin in his second trial match, I thought he did great. The height he got with a back body drop is insane.
That was
If
scary.
you haven't seen it, Ayabe has it on his Twitter account. So go look at that because he won with that back body drop. He didn't need to put out a Boston Crab or anything. He just got the pin with that.
I was going to point out this is like Nagao's, Taishin's like hometown as well. So it's like special, extra special match.
The three-way was a lot of fun. Ishino rolling up the referee was pretty funny. Like the referee was getting involved. The Guerrero TV title match, it was okay. I didn't love it, but at the same time, I didn't hate it. I was just here for the main event, to be honest.
I'm kind of like a fan of Tachibana and Kurashiro, aka Ikumen, like just fighting all the time because in real life they just bicker and annoy each other all the time, and then they just do it in the ring as well. So, like in the ring, they're like their character's always like, "Oh, I hate it when you do better than me. Let me get you one up or something like that." Because, for example, I think Ikumen already shoved the fence in the curtain when Tachibana was coming out. So he was already like disadvantaged, and then he's pretended having like a knee injury, and then taking a leaf out of Yuma Aoyagi's book and faking an injury, and then kicking Tachibana. I guess it seems to be like when Tachibana is outpowered, he just keeps rolling people up now, because he's a small guy, right? So he can't beat them with power. So he's just gonna do the snake and roll them up. And then in this case, he rolled up Ikemen for the three count, and Ikemen was pissed and crying. And I think backstage, they were just like fighting again, you know, the usual like calling each other names and stuff. And I think at the end, is it here that, is it this show or a different show? Because there's a challenge for the Garrett TV belt
Oh, there's
in the backstage.
there's Goro TV title on day six. So another one,
Because Noriyuki Yoshida challenges him for conveniently for the Garou TV title match in Hokkaido.
These two just they fight and then they just wrestle together, fight, wrestle together. They're tag teaming in Tag League and they did it last year and they actually did pretty well. Like they had a little fight when Tachibana wanted to dive outside and then they do a little dance before Tachibana did. It sounds really weird. Like please just kind of find that and watch it. I don't understand. Stop fighting each other.
I think they're like the terrible like married couple, basically. Because we touched about it before. He was yelling crap like, "Oh, this is why you're divorced." Because he's actually divorced in real life. So it all kind of leaks over because they're so close. They just hang around
A
like each
low
other
blow.
24/7, I think.
They're always like posting photos of each other on social media and stuff. Like they never leave each other's side.
They're making fun of each other. Like, here's something stupid. You look stupid today, or something like that. And then they send another one back, and they don't like send each other like private messages. It's on Twitter,
Yeah.
basically. It's hilarious.
If only he had like a shorter entrance, I think he'd be much more liked.
Yeah. I was like, how long can people put up with this like 15-minute entrance? That only
They
rivals Kento's.
love it. Like When I was in Japan early this year, they were going crazy. The audience just loved it. I reckon he could do it like six more times and they'd still be clapping and wanting more.
Because he already does an encore, so
Yeah.
what else do you want?
It's like, why did you start doing like a second entrance? Just get in the ring.
I
He's not going to change her.
don't think so. He's not going to change his name either.
I still call him Jiro here.
Yeah, I'm just, it's like, I think he wants his old name back, but he's not sure if he can take it back from NXT, so that's why. But everyone just still calls him Ikemen anyway.
Yeah. For the All Asia Tag Team title match, having Kento as a side character is wild. But this is what happened in this match. There were a few matches announced for Kaito that I was really looking forward to, and this was like high on my list, like either number one or number two. The hate that Inoue and Anzai have will like feed the fans for years to come. Like, this is going to be like a little generational rivalry that just like Anzai and Honda is going to be great. They were the main attraction in this match and deservedly so. That's not saying Kento and Hayato were bad, because of course not. They added a lot to the match, but they're like, as I said, they were side characters. It's like you guys had the main actors, Anzai and Inoue, and then like, Kento and Hayato were like the best friends in a movie. They just come in, say something, and then get out. They just do their part. It was just a really good fucking match. Inoue's kicks were beautiful. The moment when he was kicking Anzai, then Anzai got up and met immediately with a forearm to the face, dropped back down to receive more kicks. That was amazing. I love that part. It made me think now would be the time to, I don't know, belt up Inoue or just do something more with him. Like, he's ready for it, or maybe just early next year. He's still learning and perfecting his character, but at the same time, he's just so great. Like, I don't know what's next for him because he's not in tag league. Well, everybody else is in tag league. All the juniors are in tag league, and he just, I don't know, left to the side. So what are they doing with him? He can't just keep losing all the time, So I don't know. Give Inoue something, because he was so good on this tour and he's just getting better every time.
I mean, maybe going back to our junior belt conversation, maybe Inoue is the one who should be getting that belt off. What's his face, Dorinoruki, rather than Rising Kaito. That would kind of make sense as well. Yeah, I just think he's just really good at the moment. He's just like, I mean, he was formerly Kento's best dojo boy, so I feel like this is a really good move for him to give him like more personality, I suppose. It's not that he didn't have any, but he was just kind of being the good kid, I felt. And I think that's at heart his real personality. But in the ring, he just wants to kick Anzai's ass. So yeah, this is a really good match. And I think, yeah, Kento is always everyone's cheerleader. So if you put him in the match, he's gonna make a bunch of noise. He's gonna make the match like 10 times faster. So teaming up to challenge for the Asia Tag Belts is a really good idea. I thought that I really liked a particular move that was like Hayato did like a swan dive missile kick, and then on Inoue, and then Anzai did the German
Oh, yeah,
suplex.
that was
Yeah, I
good.
thought that was chef's kiss. That's really good teamwork. I mean, that's why they're the tag team champs, really. I don't think they've got anything. Kento and Inoue have been together for that long as a, tag team, so they don't have anything quite like that. I really love, like, Inoue's, like, what do you call it? The Daikon on suplex, which is like that really cool, suplex. Yeah, in the end, Inoue couldn't sustain all the jumping knees from Anzai. And then Kento couldn't do anything when Inoue's finally defeated with the gimlet. So Anzai chose to use the gimlet on this match. I guess he was just saving it. But yeah, I guess it's whether he's having this trial by fire because he's lost to like Suwama, Tachibana, Kuma Arashi before this as well. So he's got some real fire. He's getting really pissed. And again, he's not the best dojo boy anymore.
I think when Anzai and Hayato were announced as a tag team, I'm like, okay, how is this going to work? Because Anzai was tag teaming with Honda, and I thought they were really good, like as New Period. I love New Period, but they do work so well. They work great together, and like, I don't want to say thank God, like Honda's not teamed with Anzai anymore, but just good on them for changing it around and giving Anzai Hayato as his tag team partner and tagging up Ayabe with Honda. Because I thought both these two teams work so well together.
I wouldn't have guessed it either. Like Ayabe with teaming with like stocky Honda, who likes to do a dance all the time. Yeah, I'm glad they formed this unit so they could just, I don't know, I guess express themselves a bit more rather than just I'm a champion and I only do serious things or whatever like that. I guess that's the whole point why they formed. But yeah, and then Inoue is left out, who again he's got nobody at the moment. He's on the outer, which is why he's pissed. So yeah, what will happen in the future?
That's what I mean. Like, Kento heads off to Tag League. He's with David Boy. Everybody else has a partner, and Inoue is just left alone. Like I said with Dr. Jonathan when we had our episode, like the only person who is signed who can tag with Inoue is Masanobu Fuchi, and that's not going to happen.
The dude's like, don't hit me.
He wrestles
Yeah.
2 matches a month, like not a month, sorry, a year. Like that's all
Yeah.
he can do.
He's just doing the I don't really wrestle, I'm just here kind of act now. So yeah. Maybe All Japan will surprise us and come up with something, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I hate waiting and seeing, but it's what we have to do. Maybe next year, like 2025 is the year of Inoue. Fingers crossed. Moving on to day four. Riki Honda defeated Rii Inoue in 8 minutes and 39 seconds. Dan Tamura defeated Noriyuki Yoshida in 6 minutes and 12 seconds. Hokuto Omori and Kuma Arashi defeated Sego Tachibana and Shoto Ishino in 10 minutes and 31 seconds. David Boy Smith Jr. defeated Cyrus and Kurisho Tokyo Japan in 6 minutes and 42 seconds. Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defeated Musashi and Seki Yoshioka in 9 minutes and 16 seconds. Jun Sato and Rei Sato defeated Andreza Giant Panda and Kumagoro Hakai in 9 minutes and 8 seconds. And in the main event, Ren Yabe, Yuma Anzai, and Raizen Hayato defeated Kento Miihara, Yuma Oyagi, and Tashin Nagao in 19 minutes and 21 seconds. Okay, so one of the biggest match on the tour happened on this day. No other match mattered. Two actual bears versus two wrestlers built like bears. And it was absolute perfection, like no notes. Like Ray looked so happy. He was just like a child going into this match. He was smiling and he couldn't stop. While June, of course, was like trying to play it cool, like the cool older brother. But he went to give the panda a hug, and in return, he got bear hugged and fell to the mat.
You can't trust the panda. It's
No.
not doesn't have good intentions. You know that. You'll get eaten.
Their headbutts were so funny. Just, June went down straight away. Ray went down straight away. All four guys held up each other's hand after the match. Like, it was respect all around. I'm just so happy the Saitos got this match because they went all out for it. And Ray was adorable. He loved it.
I think if where else is it going to happen? It's going to happen in like the prefecture of bears, apparently, in Hokkaido, where Kumagoro Hokkai comes out like once a year out of hibernation. So I'm really happy that this match happened, even though on paper it looks like crazy, and people are like, "What is wrong with All Japan? Why do they have this stupid bear match?" But that's exactly the point. This is where it can happen.
Not what's wrong with All Japan. It's like, why haven't they done this before? This is great. I know a lot of people have been talking bad about like it's too goofy. Or All Japan, it's not as serious as it was before, but like screw that. I love
Have
it.
you been watching? It's like, when is All Japan serious? The champion or former champion, spoil it, is not serious. So why would the rest of the promotion be serious? Kento is not particularly serious
Oh,
either.
he's like the worst of all of them.
Yeah.
He gets serious for title matches, and then like any other matches, like no. Nah. The main event I actually really liked. It was a lot of fun. Kento, Yuma, and the Alpida team were great, but I just really want to talk about Taishin, who teamed with Kento and Yuma. So this is his fourth match, and he got the main event in his hometown. He did media appearances for the show. He had a photo session for the All Japan fan club. He had family, friends, school teachers there to cheer him on. And they had like a banner that was like, aim for the World Junior Championship. It was just so sweet. Like, I just love this rookie so much. I am so happy he got this opportunity just, to perform in his hometown, like, so quickly after his debut, because he's going to come back every year and you can just see how much he's progressed. And I just love that with rookies, just seeing their progression. And the next year when they come back, he's just going to be better. He's going to be maybe out of his like rookie year by then. Like, his goal is to hold the junior championship, like become the youngest ever. Maybe he's going to wrestle for that when he comes back next year. Like, why not let him have this progression every year in his hometown? Because they came out for this match and they just made it so much special. And I'm just so glad he had this opportunity. And Kento Nyua were being so sweet to him, like giving him the mic, letting him talk after the match. And like I said, like Kento's been taking him out like nearly every night after the tour to eat together. So I don't know. I just love it. I'm full of love for this match.
I think it's he's got a lot of potential. I mean, he's definitely on the smaller side, but that shouldn't stop him because he's got a big heart, like his name basically. And I thought it's really sweet that like his two mentors were like, holding his hand up at the end and just like supporting him, I guess. Yeah, it's really good that the timing of his debut was able to coincide with his tour as well. So. Yeah, and then at the end he got to say that he wanted to challenge for the junior title. I guess yeah, it'd be really interesting to see his progression from here in a year's time and another year. Yeah, given he's got such like, good trainers and stuff like that. So, yeah.
He does. And yeah, I just think him teaming with Kento Nyuma this early, like, that's a good sign.
I wanted to go back to the opening match where it had Yuma and Taishin, and then because Yuma gave him a really severe Boston crab, which is very similar to what Kento did to him in his opening match. So I feel like that's the continuation going on there. And he can do it to somebody else
Yeah.
later on.
Well, that's like a family heirloom being passed down from generation to
And you're
generation.
back broken.
Yeah. We're going to talk about day five now. So, Ranyabe and Riki Honda defeating Musashi and Seki Yoshioka in 11 minutes and 39 seconds. Kumagoro Hakai defeated Kumarashi in 9 minutes and 27 seconds. Dan Tamura, Shota Ueshiro, and Noriyuki Yoshida defeat Kurusho Tokyo Japan, Sega Tachibana, and Rei Inoue in 11 minutes and 11 seconds. Hokuto Mori and Cyrus defeat Suwama and Yuma Aoyagi in 10 minutes and 4 seconds. Jun Sato and Rei Sato defeat Hideki Suzuki and Kairo Sato in 8 minutes and 59 seconds. Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Kento Miyahara defeat Yuma Anzai and Raizen Hayato in 15 minutes and 23 seconds. I'm going to be honest. This was a part of the tour where I was kind of like, wrap it up, please. Like, just get to day eight now. The thing is, I want to talk positive about this tour, but it was so long and a lot of filler. And like, the wrestling was fine on day five. Like, nothing was wrong with it, but there's nothing really to talk about that important compared to other days.
There's not really a lot going on. I mean, the only thing I kind of noted was the Hokuto Mori and Cyrus versus Suwama and Aoyagi because it was like the day before Yuma's birthday, so he actually wanted Suwama to win so he could wish him happy birthday. So that's pretty much it. But you know what's happening to Suwama right now? He's just getting beat up. So yeah, that was pretty much the only thing I really noted about that day. I think it's just business as usual, what do we call it? Because we don't even get the preview match of the Triple Crown till like,
No, where you got it? Like, it's already been, it's already happened.
yeah, that's really strange. I thought, why was it so early? Whereas I thought it should have been like the day before or whatever, closer to the
Oh,
day.
we'll get to that.
But
Just don't worry about it. I have notes
anyway,
about
okay.
Yeah, I thought just 8 days is just way too much and just
Even for
ugh.
the people of Hokkaido, it's like too much.
Like, the thing is, it's all good wrestling, but it's just okay. They had a good match. Next match, okay, that was good, but it's just like nothing super special.
I guess it'll be interesting to see what they do next year, whether they keep it as long or whether they put it back to the 6 days.
It down, please. We're gonna move on to a day that I have notes about, which is day six. Gorō's team title match, Sega Tachibana defeated Noriyuki Yoshida in 7 minutes and 19 seconds. Raisin Hayato and Yuma Anzai defeated Musashi and Tenshin Nagao in 10 minutes and 28 seconds. Jun Saito and Rei Saito defeated Ryu Inoue and Seki Yoshioka in 11 minutes and 34 seconds. David Boy Smith Jr. and Kento Miyahara defeated Kairi Sato and Yuma Aoyagi in 15 minutes and 47 seconds. Rene Abe and Ryuki Honda defeated Dan Tamura and Shota Ishino in 12 minutes and 45 seconds. And in the six-man tag team title match, Hokuto Omori, Cyrus, and Kuma Arashi defeated Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, and Kumagoro Hakai in 15 minutes and 45 seconds. The Goro TV title match was fine. It was nice for one of the Hokkaido wrestlers to get the title match, but like, will we ever think they were going to win? Like, they only wrestle for this Hokkaido tour. They don't come down to like Tokyo or anywhere like that. So it was kind of like no stakes, really. But it's nice for Tachibana to get like another notch on his successful defenses because I want him to have like a proper title reign with his.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1 pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Belt because he's really, really good. And if anyone signs to All Japan come January, please let it be him.
Yeah, I mean, All Japan always likes to open with a casual title match, just Gaara, I think, in particular. It's just like, okay, fine. No relaxing. I can't just like run off and get a cup of coffee. I need to watch this right now. So apparently, this is Noriyuki Yoshida's first challenge in 5 years with the Gaara belt. So previously, probably five years ago, I think he challenged Yoshitatsu or something like that. And I guess this is an interesting match because Yoshida is like a lot bigger than Tachibana. So basically he's busy chopping Tachibana and he can't match that. I think his listed height is 185 and he does look pretty big. So this is another one where Tachibana sneaks in with roll-ups again because there's no other way he can win. He can't dropkick him. He can't, like, you know, somersault his way into winning this match. I noticed in the backstage comments, Tachibana was like, your chops and your elbows, they don't hurt at all. While he's touching his red chest. I was like, that's lies, complete lies. So, yeah, that's a fun enough match, I guess. But just for Hokkaido, I guess. Like you said, like Yoshida doesn't, he only wrestles for Hokkaido promotions, I think. So it's never going to come down to Tokyo or whatever.
Even though like he defended against a wrestler who was never going to win the belt, it's nice to see the belt being defended because for so long it was just a prop. I remember when I started watching All Japan, Yoshitatsu had it and I'm like, oh, he never defends this belt. Like, is it an actual belt you're supposed to defend? And then like Jun Kaisai won it and then like it just went crazy for a while and then became a prop when the guy from Voodoo Murders, what's his name? One of them.
Which
one of them won it. What is his
Big
name?
Dude? It's not Taro, obviously.
No, I'm going to look it up.
You look up. I can't think of who. My brain's like ticking over. I can't think.
Minoru Tanaka.
Are you serious? He's a very part-time member of Voodoo Murders.
Oh, well, he held the belt and he did nothing with it. Anyway, let's get back to the other stuff. Let me open my notes again. Okay, six-man tag team title match for the belts. That was nice. I think it's sweet of All Japan to remember that the belts actually exist. I hope they continue with it. Like I said last episode, I do think Omori is actually a really good tag wrestler, and I really enjoy him in this position. So holding the belts could be a really good boost for the Hokuto Army because, like, we know they need it. One thing that is interesting is that Amore and Kuma are in Block A while Cyrus is in Block B for Tag League. So basically everybody in Tag League has a chance to pin them and then can go for these belts. So it's going to be interesting to see, who's next to challenge.
Yeah, I can't really think of who would want to go for them particular at the moment, but I guess after the tag league results, maybe someone would like to challenge.
Because you have every belt except for the junior belt in tag league. So basically, opportunities to challenge out for grubs. So for day seven, Yuma Anzai defeated Tashinago in 7 minutes and 12 seconds. Hokuto Omori, Cyrus, and Kumarashi defeated Noriyuki Yoshida, Shota Ishino, and Dan Tamura in 7 minutes and 15 seconds. Rene Abe and Riki Honda defeated Hideki Suzuki and Kara Sato in 10 minutes and 22 seconds. Rizin Hayato defeated Kurishio Tokyo Japan, Seiga Tachibana, Rie Inoue, and Yuma Oyagi in 6 minutes and 25 seconds. Jun Sato and Rei Sato defeated Suwama and Kumagoro Hakai in 11 minutes and 35 seconds. And in the main event, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Kenta Miyahara defeated Musashi and Sekio Yoshioka in 17 minutes and 14 seconds. Anzai versus Taishin made me think of 2 years ago because Anzai was in the exact same position. Like, sure, his nickname was like the super rookie and he was about to get his first win in a month, but he was just starting out his career. I have really liked Taishin's three trial matches. He looked good in the ring, he has a ton of confidence and shows a lot of potential. I'm surprised he had his trial matches so soon. I think it might have been for the Kaido crowd because he's from Hokkaido, so like it's going to be special for him. But I think the last time we had trial matches, like correct me if I'm wrong, was like Riki Honda. Like he came over from Wrestle One, like rest in peace, Wrestle One, as a rookie. And then he stayed as a rookie in All Japan for a while. Then he had his trial matches. And then he became like, a fully proper wrestler. So like Taishin isn't going to become like a proper wrestler like in the next show because he's had, what, five matches. But yeah, I didn't expect these trial matches so fast, but he's done it. I think it was good. Congratulations. You made it through your trials. See what happens next for you.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty quick as well. But again, like you said, because they're on tour and he's in his home prefecture. But maybe they have a lot of belief in him to put him on trial for so early. But then again, I think maybe it's a different era where you develop your rookies much faster than you used to, instead of putting them in, like, I don't know, the dungeon of. I don't know, the dungeon of tag matches or something for like ages before they really progress. Like even like in a way I felt like was like a rookie for a long, long, long time before he, was allowed to like become more of a wrestler. But maybe they're gonna, progress them along if they're good enough.
Yeah. Let's get to this match. Why was the fucking Triple Crown champion in a city little five-way match the day before his title defense instead of a preview tag? If you look at this show's card, they had Kento and Davey Boy against Musashi and Sekio Yoshioka. Like, that makes no sense. Take Inoue and Yuma out of this match and put them in the tag match. So have Inoue team with Kento and Yuma teaming with Musashi and Seki. That would have looked better and made more sense. Like, okay, I like silly little matches like this. They had everyone, including the referee, versus Tachibana at one point. But it's just like, why is Yumi in this match when he's a title shot the next day?
I don't understand what they're thinking. So I feel like there was no real proper build up because the momentum you had earlier was just like you've already forgotten it by day seven. And then why is like two heavyweights versus two juniors in the main event? As much as I like, Yoshioka and Musashi together, but I don't get it. Unless someone had like to run off somewhere and then come back or something. Yeah, I don't understand at all. Again, it's
Unless
like.
Shima was like, okay, I wanna be in this five-way match, I don't understand why.
But why? I don't think he's particularly close to any of them that I know of, so.
The thing is,
It's
he
not.
didn't even win the match.
He's lost all tour. Do you know what I mean?
He only won against the rookie. That's it.
Yeah, true. There's one. That's one. It is so weird. Maybe
I
it's
don't
a
get
sign
it.
of things to come. I don't know. That's a really bad sign.
Yuma, what are you doing? Stop. People are talking bad about you and I want to defend you, but like I can't. Anyway, day eight, the final day. Musashi and Sekiyoshi defeated Suwama and Karasato in 9 minutes and 23 seconds. Zenitsu and Shoto Ishino defeated Kento Miyahara and Rei Inoue in 10 minutes and 26 seconds. Hokuto Mori defeated Cyrus, Hideki Suzuki, Kuma Arashi, Kuma Gorohakai, Tashi Nagao, Tomoya, and Noriyuki Yoshida in 7 minutes and 51 seconds. Raizen Hayato and Yuma Anzai defeated Seigo Tachibana and Kyushu Tokyo Japan in 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Jun Sato and Rei Sato defeated Ren Oyabe and Ryuki Honda in 14 minutes and 52 seconds. And in the Triple Crown title match, it pains me to say, but Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 22 minutes and 6 seconds. Like, stabs my chest. Yuma's my favorite.
Before I get to the pain part, I want to talk about the Hokkaido Rumble, which I thought was
Yes.
really, really fun. It doesn't like you can't tell, but basically Hokuto came out because he's from Hokkaido, right? But then he brought Cyrus and Kuma Arashi with him, and I think the excuse for Cyrus was something like my brother's mother's aunt or something is a bear from Hokkaido or something. And then he also did this really weird because he loves memes, right? So I think he did this weird thing where he printed out a piece of paper with the address of like Hideki Suzuki's like family house, but it's a vacant lot or some garbage. I don't understand the joke, but that's his thing lately, just printing out like jokes on paper and then presenting them. But yeah, this is a really funny like Hokkaido. Like everyone from Hokkaido matched except for Kuma Arashi and Cyrus, because Kuma Arashi is from Saitama or something. But it ended up being a like a Taishin Nagao like support match, because then Omori started to bully him, and everyone was like on the side of the ring, just like cheering for him. So even though Taishin lost, I think Omori's a bigger loser here because he comes off as a massive bully. But it was a great match. So I think if you want to see something that's really nice and heartwarming, watch that before you watch a Triple Crown match. Oh my God.
I totally agree with you. I love the part where like Kumagoro getting pinned because he was just so dizzy he fell down. It was great. Like Tashin pinned Kuma Arashi. He got his first pin. Like he didn't win the match, but like that's it. That's his first elimination ever. So congratulations. Like him getting thrown out of the ring only to be caught by the eliminated wrestlers was great. Like he's still in, rolling back in.
Yeah, this.
He was in the final two with Omori, and it reminded me of when Inoue was a rookie and he was the final two with Tsukui Nomura in the New Year's War Battle Royale. So it's like a little throwback to that. It was just a fun little match, like no stakes, nothing serious. Like, yeah.
Think it was a cask, it was a box of beer or something that they won at the end.
They're like fighting with it, like who gets it backstage.
Yeah, they were like, Cyrus, don't drink it all or something. Yeah, I mean, in general, this show was pretty fun. Like, it went by really fast before the title match. So, yeah, I don't know if we should just cut to it or what and get it over
Yeah,
with.
we got it. So just let's get it over with.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it live. I thought there was no way Yuma was losing, so I went for a walk instead. And when I came back, he was no longer Triple Crown champion.
Oh my God.
Okay, so
Yeah.
what I'm going to say next, I know people are going to disagree with me because that's how the internet is. But in his post-match speech, Davey Boy thanked Johnny Ace. And if you do know who that is, he's someone involved in like the Vince McMahon lawsuit, and there's some really disgusting stuff involved there. So I didn't watch the rest of his post-match promo or his backstage because like fuck that. Like, why don't you shout out like Joe Doring? He was the last foreign champion. Why don't you shout out Stan Hansen, Vader, someone else who came before you paved this path for foreign people to, hold the Triple Crown? Like, why do you think disgusting people? And I know people be like, oh, he helped him. Like, don't look at what's happening now. Look at how it helped him. Like, fuck that. No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's kind of like the sour kind of context to the end of this match. I think otherwise, it's an interesting decision to put the belt on Davey Boy because obviously it puts eyes on All Japan because suddenly people who were not paying attention were paying attention. And yeah, the whole foreigner history, people holding the belt and the history with his family, I guess, is also part of that. But yeah, it's a little bit like an off note, so I'm kind of like waiting to see what will happen next. But yeah, so I can talk about this match because I did watch it. So I should mention that I'm actually a member of the Yuma Aoyagi Otaku Army, so I'm kind of biased. So I was expecting this to be a win, like the way he won with Ayabe, even though Ayabe is not the same level, but you're versing someone who's a bit bigger than you. So I thought, he'll come out all right in the end. But I felt like, after the early part of the match where Davey Boy was struggling with like the end game and stuff like that, he was basically overpowered by Davey Boy because especially when he did the Tiger Suplex and after that it was just like he tried to come back with Rockstar Buster and tried to do the fall, but it was prevented. And then at the end the horrible so I felt my heart drop at the end with the bulldog bomb and I was just like, this is over. This is it. And it's just so it's kind of sad because it's like 1 year on, Yuma's lost his belt in the same venue, almost to the exact day. I think it was like the 5th of November was to like Katsuhiko Nakajima. So I was like, oh my God, why again? This is like Champions Carnival, curse slash Hokkaido curse. And this title run was even shorter than the previous one because this is only like V2 compared to like V5 last time. So I was like, what the? He's like even more popular this year, but then the run is even shorter. But I mean, maybe there'll be another run later, but I was just a bit disappointed.
I don't get it. What are they doing with Yuma? Like, it's funny because when he was challenging Anzai for the belt, he said, "If I win the championship, I won't challenge in the Saito brothers' hometown." Because, like, that's enemy territory. He should say, "I'm not challenging in Hokkaido because I lose there."
I should have seen that one coming. I don't understand. He is the champion. He's defeated Kento twice in both his runs. He should be the champion. What are they doing? He's so popular right now. You should just see. I mean, I'm biased, but he's
Oh, this show
popular.
is so biased towards Yuma Aoyagi. Don't worry, you're on the right show. I'm literally wearing my blue Nextreme shirt right now. So that's
I
how
should put on my
biased I
Yuma shirt.
am.
I have one. I didn't put it on though.
Next time we do a podcast, we have to wear our Yuma shirts for it.
Yeah, okay, I will do that.
Something I noticed actually is that the belts have changed hands right before the tournament for the last four title changes. Like Nakajima won it right before Tag League, Anzai won it right before Champion Carnival, Yuma won it before Royal Road, and Davey Boy now for Tag League. So is this a trend? Maybe we'll see some like him lose it before Champion Carnival. Hopefully before that, but I don't know. I
I feel
don't
like
know.
it's a weird idea because it just protects your run for, so you've got like a guaranteed X amount of days to hold the belt before you get defeated. So my idea is that New Year's Eve show that's been announced, which is really cool, that maybe Kento will challenge for it then and take it. So I'm like, please, please, God, just do it. Happy New Year, new champion.
I said this so long ago. I think it was when Jake Lee got injured and he had to forfeit the Triple Crown. So this was a while ago. And Kento won it. And having Kento hold the belt just feels like a safe space. Like it's, you're confident knowing Kento holds the belt because you know his history with the belt and you know how good he is and just how many fantastic matches he'll have defending the belt. It's like putting on like a warm, cozy jumper, like, oh, this just feels right.
And he's still young, right? It's crazy to think he's done so much and he's still like what, 34? So, yeah. I mean, he's still obviously got a lot in him, and just that he hasn't held the belt for like two, I think 2 years now, which is crazy.
Yeah, he lost it to Nagata like last year.
Yeah. Is it 2 years? Is it, or maybe less, but it feels like it's been a while. The desert of Kento not having a belt, because it's a symbol of all Japan.
What do we say now? Do you have any thoughts wrapping up the tour?
So for other notes about this tour, I was really interested in Dan Tamura's like progression here, because I like to say he's got all the well-known moves of a junior, such as gut wrench, suplex, shoulder tackle, and power bomb. So, but he had a lot of beef in the ring with Honda, and I was hoping to see like that, like happen in Tag League, but I don't think they have any matches together. But
They're
I
in
think
separate
Dan,
blocks, unfortunately.
yeah. So I think Dan is ready to take it to anyone, regardless of, junior heavyweight, which I still think he's in a weird spot.
Yeah.
But the junior is like section is too small, so probably not going to move it on for now. Yeah, I really liked that this was the tour of bears, because basically you had Kumagoro, Kuma Arashi, Andreza Giant Panda, and you could say quite a few of the wrestlers are bears as well, like Cyrus, Honorary Bear, Ray, Suwama going grumbling all the time. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, and then Yuma just like losing practically every day, even on his birthday, because then they had this weird like happy birthday song from Davey Boy. That was, I forgot what he said at the end. He said something like, "I'm taking your belt" or something at the end. I can't remember. Yeah, what a really weird tour. But I mean, I think the Japanese public are, they're really interested in the fact that Davey Boy has won the belt in terms of history. But yeah, I can't wait to see who gets it next. I'm like, next, please. I'm kind of done with it as a Yuma fan. So yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. I think Dan and Ishino, I've just been watching them a bit. There was nothing really to write about them. Like, they're just great wrestlers. I'm just really looking forward to their tag league run because they're so good and I love them and I want them to do really well. You know, I think it was good wrestling this tour, but it was just too long. It was way too long. And I remember before this tour started, I was looking at matches they were announcing. I'm just like, this is so weird. This is random. Like, what's with all these three-way matches? Like, what's with this weird tag match? So, I mean, some of it was good to watch, some of it was hard. Like, okay, we literally had eight shows in 9 days. That's insane. And we end with someone achieving their dream of winning the Triple Crown champion. And it's like, well, my dream's never to hear who you thanked on. You know, any wrestling program again, but you know, I gotta get a new dream now. All I have to say is I hope when Yuma wins the Triple Crown for a third time, he is goofy as can be and just piss everybody off who thought he was too goofy this reign.
Oh, he's such a great champion, because he I would say he obfuscates, to use a big word. He just makes everything confusing, and you never know what he's going to say next. And you never know what he's going to do. This whole thing about splitting up the Triple Crown into three belts, which is only for the anniversary match. So I'm not sure where he wants to go with that, whether he wants to make it a permanent thing, which is his aim, he says, I think. So what does that even mean? I don't
Yuma
know.
says so much, but like 1% of it is true. He just likes to talk.
Just like total like shit staring constantly.
He is such a shit stirrer, he really is.
And that's why he's got so many Tokyo sports articles. I feel like he's got like, I don't know about any other wrestler. I feel like he has the most Tokyo sports articles any wrestler apart from, I don't know, Naito or someone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, whenever I see like Tokyo Sports pop up and there's like a picture of Yuma, I'm like, okay, you know,
What's he
what's
said
he lying about
now?
now?
It's like it's like the Three Kingdoms is the belts or something, like the Chinese like wars or something. I was like, huh?
Listen to Yuma, but like watching wrestle. Anyway, that was the Kaito tour. We're going to talk about Tag League for a bit. Everyone's probably sick of me talking about Tag League because this is the third time, but it's almost here and the schedule has been released. So we're just going to go through it quickly and highlight a match from each day we think is a must watch. The schedule should be posted on my socials, so check it out. So day one, November the 9th, I picked Takato Omori and Kuma Arashi versus Sekimoto and Kengo because I am so excited to see Sekimoto in All Japan again.
I was going to say, I picked Jun Saito and Rei Saito versus Oishi and Mike DiVecchio just because Oishi is like the biggest fanboy of Jun and Rei. So I don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to like come out with all his fan gear and his towels or something? And I don't know what Mike is like either. So it'd be very interesting just to see. It'll establish how they're going to like, go this tournament, I guess.
For November 15th, I picked Yuma Oyagi and Fumanori Abe versus Honda and Ayabe.
Jinx.
That'll be great. November 16th, I picked Juno Rae versus Haito
Oh my God, the same
and
one. Because I was thinking like last time I've always seen like Jun, like when I was in Japan, see Jun and Rei just beat up like Hayato and Atsuki. I always just want to see how Hayato gets back at them. If at all, yeah.
November 17th, Suwama and Hideki versus Yuma and Abe.
Sorry, this is. I just want to see Baka and Ujinai like just be stupid together. Gonna be so stupid. Will Sawama dropkick Abe in like 10 seconds and end the match again?
My
Like anything
God.
could
I
happen.
forgot
That's what
about
I
that. Yeah.
mean. I loved that match. That was great.
I said that match was like a monkey's paw. Like, we got Suwama versus Abe, but we got what, 30 seconds of
Yeah. So you don't need attention span for
it.
that one. Anything could happen. That's the thing.
For November 20th, I picked Junior Ray versus Sekimoto and Kengo.
I picked Kento and Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Yuma and Abe. I think it'll be pretty stupid, but I mean, I guess it's a rematch-ish.
For the 23rd, I pick Suwama and Hideki versus Kyushu, Tokyo, Japan, and Tachibana.
Sounds like fun. I picked Hayato and Anzai versus Musashi and Yoshioka Seki. So, yeah.
I kind of just want to see Tachibana versus Suwama.
Just get beat up, yeah.
For the 24th, I picked Haito and Anzai versus Ishino and Dan.
Yeah, sorry, the
Yeah, it's
same.
going to be so
I
good.
really want to see Dan just beat up people, basically.
That's all we want from Dan.
Just come muscle in and elbow people.
He's got like his little mustache. He's got like a little fringe now,
He's a
you know?
side part now. It's
Yeah.
like, oh my God, Dan, you're getting really handsome.
I know, right?
And so I love when I see like the Evo girls like just post about Dan and say like, oh,
Yeah.
you're so nice, Dan. You
Yeah.
bought a lot of sweets today. That's how I feel about him.
For the November 30th, I picked Junior Ray versus Ishino and Dan again because of Dan and Ishino, they're gonna kill it.
I actually picked Sekimoto and Kengo versus Oishi and Mike D because I don't really know much about Kengo. I presume it's going to be a bruiser. Yes, I think it's going to be fun.
On December 1st, I pick Ishino and Dan versus Sekimoto and Kengo. Like Ishino versus Sekimoto is just like, oh, so good.
Well, I guess I picked Yuma and Abe versus Kuroshio, Tokyo,
My
Japan, and Tachibana. It's just I just love stupid matches. I don't care. It's just gonna be levels of stupid.
So for December 5th, it's the last show before the finals. So I'm just going to read out the matches. So we have Haito and Anzai versus Sekimoto and Kengo, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka versus Ishino and Dan, Omari and Kuma versus Oishi and Mike D, Kento and Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Cyrus and Hartley, and Soma and Hideki versus Sato and Miyamoto. So it's a mixed bag when looking at the final day because you think you're going to have like, you know, big matches in the final day to see who wins. It's
All
interesting to see
Japan.
who they're versing. But
I say All Japan does love a like final day decider, just like any other good promotion.
yeah. But I'm picking Haito and Anzai versus Sekimoto and Kengo.
I picked Kento and Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Cyrus and Hartley Jackson. So I feel bad that I didn't pick Miyamoto and Hikaru Sato anywhere. But I mean, they're funny too, and they'll be pretty good. But I didn't actually, yeah.
I think looking at this tag league, I reckon it's going to be good. Like everyone's going to get, their spot in, their surprise win, especially Sato and Miyamoto. Like I reckon they could probably win against Suwama and Hideki on the last day.
True, true.
Like probably eliminate them from like the finals or something, like the upset team.
Because I mean, Hideki is like he can be serious wrestler, or he can be just like I don't give a fuck. It's like drop kick, miss, drop kick, miss, drop kick.
It's
So
like
I can see
50-50.
that. Yeah, what kind of side of the bed he came out of, rolled out of on the day.
Do you have a winner in mind?
The obvious one would be Kento and Davey Boy Smith Jr. because that's part of the plan, right? And then you get the challenge, I guess, after that. That's probably not what I want, though. I want something like Ashino and Dan because Ashino's been taking a back seat since he came back from injury. So I feel like he needs a little bit of a boost or something like that. I mean, that would be great. Otherwise, Yuma and Abe, come on, like just wrestle seriously for once, and then maybe you can like challenge or something. I don't know, for a belt or something together. That would be good.
I would love the finals to be Ishino and Dan versus Kento and Davey Boy, just for Ishino to pin Davey Boy to get a triple crown shot. But that's like thinking like with my heart. That's like what my heart
Yeah,
wants.
I feel like
I
it's
would love.
owed one. After the champion carnival or whatever it was,
I reckon June and Ray could win this. They've been unstoppable.
I was like, when are they going to drop the belts? So how they've had it for a long, long time now. The book's come out, so it's okay to drop it now. But yeah, they just hang on for forever, it feels.
I
But
think they're still
yeah,
deciding who will be like the 100th tag team champions because it
oh,
can't
this
be just
is
some
very
random tag team.
yeah. You can't have like Sato and Miyamoto get it or whatever.
I think it's going to be a good tag league. I'm excited to see who will win. I'll love if like Ayabe and Honda get far in it, even like to the finals, because they're a great tag team, but we'll see.
I think anything could happen is with like the juniors included as well, so.
I reckon the juniors are going to be like upsets. They're going to take some points away from teams, especially in the final couple of days. We're going to talk about our match of the month and wrestle of the month. Who was your wrestle of the month?
Probably Taishin actually, because it's just like it's like the good news, the good news story of the whole series, I guess. It's just like, oh, it's really nice just to see him like start to get attention, and everybody just loves him, I think. So I think it is really just, yeah, like I said, heartwarming and nice to see. I mean, focusing so much on Taishin, I've forgotten the name of the other rookie wrestler who is still out with the concussion. I don't know when he's going to come back, but hopefully before the end of the year, because they should have a rivalry set up anyway, for sure.
My wrestle of the month is actually Rei Inoue with Taishin like a super close second. I just love the hate he brought to this tour. It was fantastic, and it's just what his feud needed, and it's what a lot of feuds in All Japan need but don't do. So I was glad Rei Inoue brought it. And my match of the month is the All Asia Tag Team match, Ryzen Hayato and Yuma Anzai versus Kento Miyahara and Rei Inoue. I thought no match was better than that.
I don't know if I have one, because like I would have said the Triple Crown, but obviously we didn't get the result we wanted. I'd probably say I really like the day two match with Ayabe, Hayato, and Anzai versus Miyahara, Inoue, and Musashi. Just it was really fast paced and great. I think just because I feel like it's slim pickings a little bit on this Hokkaido tour.
It's just so random, half of these matches.
Yeah. I feel like they had so many people and they just had to do something with all of them. So we just got so many of these. There should have been more singles matches, but I guess they just wanted to book everybody as much as they could. Yeah, pretty much.
There was some good wrestling, we should say that, to
Yeah.
end with a positive note. That was good wrestling.
I think if you want to like watch a really good show, I still think the final show was a really good show. Like I said, went by really quickly. And yeah, if you just want to have fun and stuff, just watch those matches. You can skip the last one if you don't. If you don't want to watch it, fine. You can go back and watch like Ayagi versus like Ayabe and insert that in instead or something like that. Yeah, that's fine with me.
So we've come to the end of another episode of Jumping Knee Pod. Thank you all for listening and supporting the pod. It honestly does mean a lot. You can find me at Sister Jessie and Raw Road 72 on Twitter, and also follow the podcast Instagram.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. I'm having a great time being the first time guest on the podcast. And thanks, Jessica. And you can find me at Pianica, Pianica, on X/ the former Twitter. I'm also part of a fortnightly podcast about one of my other favorite things, which is Hong Kong and Asian action cinema. So it's called the Asian Action Cast, and it's been running since 2017. So you can probably find some really good movie recommendations there.
Yes, thank you so much for being on. I'm glad another Yuma Yagi
Anytime you want to talk about humor, I could go on forever. So like
Don't worry, we'll get together for a Yuma episode, believe
cool.
me. Just thank you all once again. I've been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
You have interest in Joshi, specifically stardom, and you've asked yourself, where do I start? How do I learn? Well, good news for you. The Count Out Podcast Network has a podcast dedicated to the history of World Wonder Ring Stardom that can help you learn, watch, and enjoy. This is the Stardom Road Podcast, hosted by Trent Brewer and myself, Scott Evans. Every other week, we dive into the history of wrestling's biggest women's promotion today. We have you covered.
Stardom Road is the perfect podcast for new fans looking to learn all about the deep history of the wrestlers, events, and championships they're seeing for the very first time, or for those who have been there from the very beginning simply looking to remember the good old days. So join us for multi-episode deep dives into the history of key figureheads like Orisa Hoshiki, and smaller discussions on key role players like Chris Wolfe. Find out about the lineage of championships like the high-speed belt, or how the various tournaments have changed over the years. And of course, spend time with us discussing important topics like how to costume change battle royals or the very peak of the company.
You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us on the Stardom Road.